But now they've got clever, they've
scored.
The bars and roof.
Wait.
Okay, Binyamin, we're starting. Okay. You got a safer. Yeah. You got a safer. He's got a safer.
I'm sorted.
There's a funny view there if you want. You with. Okay. Okay, last line of Pei Dalet. Al Alam Lachshev. It's incumbent upon a person to contemplate. So there's a problem with the shir. The people that need to be aren't, and the people that are here generally know all this anyway. So, okay, Chazara. Yesh li nekuda v'tafki shebishvilom nivrosi uboni yachid ba'olami. There is a point and a purpose that the whole world, or that I was created for, and for which I am unique in this world. A unique purpose in this world. This is the point of what's a chayde yichud? It's a point of intimate contact that nobody else can come into. What's a chayde yichud? If there's somebody else in the room, it's not a chayde yichud. Chayde yichud means it's me and my color. That's it. It's a point of uniqueness. Not just aloneness. It doesn't just mean being alone. The problem with somebody else in the room in the Chayde Yichud doesn't mean because there's somebody else in the room. That's not the problem. The problem is we're not in a unique situation. There's somebody else here. So a person is unique. Tafkid means this is the only person I can have this relationship with is Hashem. Adam Amnam Yoichel. The Kaddish Kamen Hashem B'Vasachas. A person can Kaddish a lot of women at once. Yeah? Ulam mitzvah yichud ein hu yoichel lekayim elim isha achas. You can only do the mitzvah yichud with one woman at a time. Kachem yochel kosh bochi yesh yachas ishi klape kol echad. So too we have a unique individual relationship with the kosh bochi. Hadolah mitbateh b'nisoynis sheloi. This unique relationship is expressed in the unique test that he has, b'kishroinus, his certain talents, b'kol prat uprat, b'matzavoy, in the unique details and details of details in his particular situation. Everything that a person has is the unique expression of his relationship with Hashem. Yishlam inyanim sherakhu yoichel abatzeu lasis laman Hashem. There are certain things which only he can express in order to do for Hashem. Kiviyachal Hashem is barach mechakelo. It's as if, so to speak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waiting for him. V'gam kol ha'briya kulu mechakelo. Not just Hashem, the whole world's waiting for him. Shai bilado lo tavo ha'briya letachlisoi. Because without him, the world's not going to come to completion. There's 600,000 letters in the Sefer Torah, whatever that means, right? So let's say the Sefer is written 5,999. Sefer Torah is not kosher yet. It's still not a Sefer Torah. It's a potential Sefer Torah, but it's chaseh oisechad. So we're waiting for one letter. That's how Jew has to see himself. Jew has to see himself as the whole Sefer Torah is ready. This is waiting for me to do what I'm supposed to do. Of course, it raises the question, how do I find out what my unique tachlis and purpose is? That's what we're all running around.
And everyone always says, well, I don't know what I want to do. Why are they doing what they're supposed to do?
No, that's not our... I was in South Africa, Rebecca spoke, gave a marriage seminar, so I went to it. I didn't go to all, there were three, but I managed to squeeze out time to go to one. So he asked, what do you think the five most difficult words are to say? If you can say these five words and mean them, your mom should have got it.
Yes, I
very good. Thanks.
You'll never get it. It's possible. We say it every day thousands of times, but we don't really say it.
I really appreciate it.
I'm fine. How are you? I'm fine. I'm not lacking anything. I've got everything I need. But how are you? What can I do for you? How can I match in your world? Says Bert. We say I'm fine. How are you? All day. The woman master once made a joke. He said, "You're fine. So how am I? Hello. You're fine. How am I? That's what we're really saying, right?" We're not saying I'm fine, how are you? I'm fine means I'm fine, I'm together, I'm cool. I'm really fine. How are you? What can I do for you? You can really say that, you can really get into that kind of modality. That's Hashem. Hashem does that. I'm fine, how are you? What can I do for you?
What's coming before that? You
said,
I'm fine, how
you're
you?
Fine, how are you?
You're fine, how am I?
Was that
that's it? Taken. You're fine, you've got no problems, I can't help you, but how am I? Why aren't you helping me?
Very tough. Very tough.
How are you finding you? We already know to say it, but we just don't know to mean it.
We don't know what, yeah, because it becomes so
like, how do we know to say it?
So it's something, it's hard. He's right. It's one of the five hardest words to say. To really say. Yeah.
Someone's Tov, remember he gave a shirim Tov. He said that Israelis like to say Tov, but he learns like, you know, others Tov
That's my Shir and Moshe Rabbeinu. Why was Moshe Rabbeinu called Moshe, not Tuvia? Because his mother called him Tuvia from Russian Toiv. The Yad Luchavet is Oki Toiv. That is the Olegonos. That was the Toiv. No, the Israeli word Tov means about 60%.
Yeah.
Toiv in Torah means Yad Hashem is Oki Toiv. It was so good that he had you out of the way. That's like that's Tachlis. That's Olam Haba. That's Toiv. It's so out of our realm that we can't even call Moshe Tuvia. We've got to call Moshe. The Egyptian princess, what she named him. That's our grasp on Moshe Rabbeinu. What's Moshe? She was Moshe Chimin Amayim. She drew him out of the water. That doesn't say what he is, it says what he isn't. The Maral says water is physicality. So she drew him out of the water. Moshe is that which is not connected to physicality. He's extracted from the water. He's drawn out of physicality. But what is he? He's Toiv. But what is Toiv? We have no musak of what that is. So we call him Moshe. What is that? What he isn't. He isn't connected to physicality. What is something that's not connected to physicality? Uh-huh. So we don't call him that. That's Toiv. Toiv is Toiv Lahoides Lashem. What's Toiv Lahoides Lashem? It's a good thing to give space to Hashem. When you get around to it, you'll do it. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. What's a good thing? 70%. It's a good thing. It's a good. There are other good things as well. There are a lot of good things in this world. One of them is to give praise to Hashem. That's not pshat. Toiv lahodes Hashem means that's, I understand what the purpose of my bria is. That's what I'm in this world for. Toiv means that's my tachlis. That's my purpose. Lahodes Hashem. What else is there in this world? Well, it shocked me. I could never understand this. Even as a kid, when I didn't believe in God, whatever. But I always knew that if there is a God, then that becomes like a full time job. I mean, you can't ever create this universe who's a part time experience. It didn't make any sense logically. Even to this day, I don't understand people who have this sort of like part time relationship. There is a God who created the world or whatever. Why don't you get stuck in your tracks? Like, how do you keep like just life carries on? You know, there must be some point where the enormity of it hits you at some place.
How can you believe?
I'm just saying, even intellectually, practically we carry on because we're sort of caught up in our lives. But just even intellectually, you should know that there's a God that's big, that's all consuming. So it's a horror job is to make us not think like that. All right. Anyway, yeah, trying to find out what our purpose in this world is part of that's. And we can get general jobs. I mean, we're not at general purpose in this world. Is to Torah, keep mitzvahs, and eat and sleep and drink and go to the bathroom and all that stuff's cool. Yeah, but where's my uniqueness? Where's my? Well, it's a very important challenge there, because that's the challenge of Amalek. That's what the Kufim coming into now with Adar, with Amalek. That was a ton of Amalek, mate. We got out of Mitzrayim. What was Mitzrayim? Mitzrayim is I'm not keeping Torah and mitzvahs. I come out of Mitzrayim, I cross the Yam, I get the Torah. Now I'm keeping Torah and mitzvahs. Now I'm a chozer b'tshuva and I'm learning Torah and I'm frum and whatever. Yeah? But are you happy? You know who you are. Yeah? So that's when Amalek comes along. That's when Amalek comes along and says, he always attacks the weak ones. Kolcho b'derech, the ones that are sort of gone a little bit cold on the way. You know, when you first become a b'tshuva, you're hot, you're fired up, and then you can't hover there a little bit. You know, it gets a little bit cold after a while. You know, you just slow down. You're not so inspired anymore. That's when Amalek attacks. What's his attack? So where did you go? So Mitzrayim, you're a slave. Now you're a slave. Then you're unhappy. Now you're unhappy. Yeah, so you got a bit more meaning there. You had meaning, at least meaning, whatever. That's Amalek. That's the attack of Amalek. So what are you doing? Who are you? What's the big deal? You still haven't found yourself. You still know what you're living for. You still don't know what your purpose in the world is. So you're bundling around in the Western world. At least you were making bucks. least there you're making money. Yeah, you don't even have bucks. And you still don't know who you are. That's Milchamas Amalek. Today, I mean, one of the aspects. So you're a slave to your Tavis, and now you're a slave to Hashem. Does it make you happy? You feel fulfilled? You know what you're doing? You've got a mission? You know what direction to face? You know, you still don't know what you're doing. You're still miserable. Yeah. Resonates a little bit what I'm saying. Connect you. That's the Amalek. And the response to him, the response to me is a safe. Find out what you're living for. Know what you're up for. He said to you, what are you talking about? Now I've got a purpose. I have a unique purpose. I have a relationship with Hashem. So if you can say that, so then good. Then you can attack him. You can defend yourself against him. But if you can't, so it's a hard, long crawl out of that one. It's amazing that people in Kiruv still think that guys are going to become frugal, get excited, and stay excited, and they're never going to crash. It's amazing people still have such a habit of that they can't understand what happens. There are people out there in Kiruv who think that once you've recovered the guy and you got him excited and fired up and he started to keep Shabbos, that's it. He'll just keep rocketing until he becomes the next Golador.
You hear that?
That's all the guys, or even Kiruv? Think about the Kiruv or whatever. Yeah, I'm not going into what I said. There's still people that believe that. Yeah. It's a pillar. They get shocked. You find up the guy, you tell him, listen, the guy you sent me is like having a real tough time. He's having a hard time getting out of bed. What are you talking about? This guy's davening a 2-hour Shmoneh Esrei at Shacharis. You mean he's not davening? So surprised. People still actually get surprised. Don't just, it's a pillar. They still actually get surprised.
Tats speaks a lot about that in his book, Teenage Regret.
Tats speaks about it in every book he ever wrote. Everything that Tats ever said is built on that just sort.
Okay, the a touch of lightning, yeah. And then the
saying, but it's still, that's what I said, it still amazes me that there are people out there who still get surprised when guys they have a carob, you know, sort of like slip into phase two,
and then
they can't understand. No, they can't understand. That's not Chomas Amalek.
But it happened your whole life, no? It happened, you always have to kind of like, you know, be like,
correct, but the Chumash, good, but the Chumash does describe Milchamas Amalek after you come out of Mitzrayim. There was a unique moment in history when Amalek came and attacked. Heard a Golovik,
it happens only once more.
No, like, if it happens in Chumash, my service in Melabonim. If it happened to the father, it happened to the children.
No, it's happening to me. To one person, like,
it's happening all the time. It's happening all the time. Just an aside, I heard a Gavaldika vote. A very, very nice vote. I'll share with you once you talk about, huh? No, on Amalek. Why did Amalek come now and attack? Why now? Tell yourself, come in and withdraw. That's plenty of time to attack. Why now? What's Pshat now? It's a very nice Pshat. Is a Midrash. When Yaakov was running away from Esav, so Esav sent his grandson to kill him. So Yaakov said to him, listen, you can kill me, but you have to understand one thing. If you kill me, you take over the Yerusha from Avram Avinu. There's 400 years of Mitzrayim. You're going to have to go through Mitzrayim. You're going to have to go through the cauldron of Mitzrayim. The descendants of Avram Avinu are going to go into the cauldron of Mitzrayim. That Hashem promised Avram Avinu the Bizban of Sorry. So if you want the Yerusha, you want to kill me, so then you get the Yerusha, yeah?
Who said this?
Yaakov says this to Eliphaz. So before you kill me, just think carefully, because you're going to have to go down and try for 400 years. Says Eliphaz, listen, what am I going to do? If I don't kill you, I'm not going to try for 400 years. That's for sure, I'm not going to take that. But what am I going to do? So Yaakov said, so take all my rechush and whatever. These should be made in the midst of Kibbut Av Ha'Em, because Oni Kamei Stami. You know that Maisa, what I'm talking about?
It's a Rosh.
It's a Rosh and Chumash. So Eliphaz took Yaakov's belongings and Yaakov went off on Ikameistami, yeah? Now you're coming out of Mitzrayim, the 400 years of Shibud's over. Comes Eliphaz and says, oh, now I want my Yerusha. Now I want the Yerusha.
Oh, yeah.
So now Amalek, that's why Amalek came now after Yitzhak's Mitzrayim.
Yeah,
now he wants his Yerusha. Nice, very nice idea. Okay. Heard it from the Zelig. Okay. Midrash. Kan alayna lohisi ki alibi de emes achrei kichlois hakoel. We have to add, yeah, that according to the alibi de emes, after we've said everything, amnam bi'anu b'hachove shakosh baruch hu sidir boris ha'ilam ba'ifin kuzu, we've explained at length that a kosh baruch hu orders and creates the world in such a way that we kiviyoch Naisnim lois torasainu, mitzvoseinu vadasainu. We, so to speak, bequeath, give our learning and our mitzvahs and our avodah to our Kodesh Baruch Hu. We call Moshen is Baba Riches, which we explain at length. Achadayin olu lakoyer litmua. The reader, that's us, could nevertheless still be amazed. Nicha, all very good. Kodesh Baruch Hu tzarech es kol yudi oyved Hashem. Okay, let's say Kodesh Baruch Hu needs every Jew who is oyved Hashem. Kol echad v'nisoyin ha-miyuchad lo. Each one with his unique nisayoy. V'matzavu v'kol protov chayv yesh ben nachas ruach miyuchad lebor olam. Each one in his particular situation, in each detail of his life, gives a certain nachas, Yiddish nachas to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Ach, keitzad novin, how do we understand, ki yudi she'enu mekayim shub mitzvah, mi mitzvah satoira? Josh, this could be the question you were asking Nefesh Echad. Va'adarabba, bepoel hu mechal Shabbos v'eichol nevelis v'treifas. How do you understand? We understand a guy is doing the mitzvahs and he's learning and he's a big tzaddik, so, oh, good, so he's giving to Kodesh Baruch Hu some nachas, whatever that means. But someone who's Mechal Shabbos and Toichel Neves of Treves, Gam, Bo, Akosh Boruch Hu, Muchan, Kviyochel, Ashkir, Kol, Kacharbe, and him Akosh Boruch Hu's prepared to do so much, Bishvili Nivra Oilam, he's not doing the Rots in Hashem. Instead of somebody who's making a profit in the business, you know, you've got a business, you have a salesman, and the guy brings in, you know, $100,000 a week. So for him, I'm prepared to, you know, give him a company car and a free phone or whatever. But you get a guy, every month he comes home, he's losing. He's not even paying his own salary. Yeah, so you're going to give him a company car and a phone and a laptop and, you know, all the stuff that you're talking about. You're losing money on this guy. How do you understand that? But Chuvala Kachi, and this is mamash important, because this is where we get stuck. If you're going to get stuck, you're going to get very badly stuck here. Of course Hashem loves me or whatever, yeah, but I've been learning so well today, I've been at the mitzvahs today, and I'm not really performing so well, so yeah, the relationship somehow is affected by it. Let's have a look. Hachuba kachi, shiyos shemokam, ha'atova amiti, v'mokam ha'idun ha'nitzchi, k'sha'isoy, reitze la'anik lo'ane bo'y ho'idam, ein olam hazeh el olam avah. The answer is that, I don't know how you translate shiyos shemokam. Let's say that the mokam of a tova amiti is
being of a place of true good.
Being, oh, that's what I was doing. Being that the place of the true bestowing of good, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and the eternal joy and pleasure that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give us is really Olam HaBo. L'chein kol chayenu kan hein kapruzdo shelifnei atraklin. All our lives in this world is really just a preparation. It's the antechamber that leads you into the chamber. Yeah, we have an opportunity to fix ourselves up and get ourselves ready for the big encounter. We have to understand that there's certain things with our limited intellect we can't understand. We can't understand what a Kodesh Baruch Hu, What is given to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, one moment of life of a Jew who doesn't do any mitzvahs? What does a Kodesh Baruch Hu get from a Yid who never did Torah and mitzvahs? We say that you really have to somehow give something to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So when you do Torah, you do mitzvahs, and you do avodahs, you're giving a Kodesh Baruch Hu whatever, we'll see, we're giving him. Fine. You're giving him the opportunity to bestow good and fulfill the purpose of creation. But what about a guy who doesn't do that? So what's he doing here? What's he giving Hashem? What is one moment of his life give a Kodesh Baruch Hu? Yitochen ki hu nishlach la'ilam letaken chatoim mi'apam akadem v'sha'abo ilam. It's possible that maybe he was sent into this world to rectify sins that he did in a previous life. Yitochen ki bakach nishmosa mizdakechas yoisa.
Would that mitzvah though?
Hold on a second. The kachi toichel ba'asid l'shuv limko shemimenu chutz v'hatzor b'tzorachayim. Ein anachni yodai adma. Hadvarim mukovim lepratim l'rabuvis v'alofim v'ein sichleinu haket mesugel l'asigo. You see a yid in this world who's not doing Torah, he's not doing mitzvahs, whatever. We don't know what his matzef is. We don't know what his situation is. First of all, you don't know that he's not doing Torah and mitzvahs. The worst Jew is male mitzvahs kerivon. The worst Jew, but we don't know what he's. We don't know. Also, we don't know what he came into this world to massacre from previous incarnations. Could be in this world, all he's doing is waiting for one moment that he'll save another yid's life. One moment, we suddenly he'll get his act together. You don't know what he's going to do tshuva. You see him today, he's not doing mitzvahs or whatever. You don't know. In 1 second, God could do tshuva and turn his whole world around. We don't know. The nekudah is don't try and understand too much what you can't understand, because you don't know.
My question is more, why are you even giving the full salary? No, you've never worked a day in his life.
No, the you see, you're understanding what the malach taught you in your womb as a salary. It's not. It's giving you the potential. Listen carefully. Yeah. It's giving you the potential to bring that amount into the world. Yeah? But whether you do or you don't, that's up to you.
And without that, your tafkid is lost.
No.
How have you ever found
yourself? Because Brock puts $1 million in the bank.
Yeah.
The father calls his son in and says, "You're 18 years old, I'm giving you $1 million. It's in the bank. For the rest of your life, you've got $1 million, you make it or break it. You got it on your own." So the kid can go out there and squander $1 million. The kid can go out there and make $1 billion. That's what Kosh Bocha gives us. He gets the malach to program the hard drive.
Well, why does he have $1 million in the beginning?
No right! 100%! We have no right to even one breath of fresh air, you're right? Kulu chesed from Abba. Kulu chesed! The life we have in the Torah that Kosh Bocha gave us in the womb, kulu chesed! We have no right to it whatsoever.
And let's say instead of spending $1 million, he just goes downstairs.
Good. The end of the day, he's going to have to come and he's going to have to give din b'cheshbon to his Abba. Abba's going to want to know, how did you use your life with $1 million I gave you? How much of that $1 million did you activate and actualize and utilize correctly, and how much didn't you? So Kosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, gives us so many years, he gives us a certain amount of resources. It's an individual level, the family level as well. That's why there's a thing called Yerusha. Why does the son inherit the father? Because there's an individual purpose, there's also a family purpose. When the father's finished, he hand over his kelim to the next generation. Otherwise, what's the swara for Yerusha? That is an interesting nekuda. They never thought about that, did you? What's the lamdas behind Yerusha? Why should the son get what the father had?
That it
just because there's not an emotional connection here, because I love him more than anyone else. Who says he's give it to somebody else who might be able to use it better? I don't know. No, because that's the hemshech of the family job. That's another discussion. A Kosh Baruch Hu programs us, gives us the whole Torah. It's machlekas whether it's the whole Torah or it's the whole Torah he'll need.
It makes more sense than that, and that's
makes no difference. It makes absolutely no difference. At the end of the days, in 120 years' time, there's a malach waiting for you at the transit station.
And you've seen him before.
And that malach is the guy that taught you the whole Torah, and he wants to know, how much of what I gave you did you utilize? And based on that, you'll get whatever is coming to you.
Is there a story to the Gemara and Shabbos that asks to the kashas that will be asked and Yom HaDin?
No, that's one aspect of the Yom HaDin. How much of your life did you use properly? I gave you $1 million and you only used 20 of it. You only actualized. That's, by the way, when you learn Torah. When you learn Torah, you kind of sense like you're remembering. It's not a sense of having taken something new and shoved it down your throat. It's almost a sense of bringing out what you've learned. You sense it when you learn. Yeah? But at the end of the day, we don't always understand what's going on. We don't. We're looking at the world through a keyhole. We don't see the whole room. Kosh Baruch Hu sees the whole picture. We don't see it.
Isn't the fact that that your specific malach taught you is there a bit of a riot that he's teaching you the Torah that you need and not just everybody's taught the exact same thing? But if it was the exact same thing, then there's no reason for it to be him. It could be anyone. He said, this is what was on your curriculum. But here he's saying, I taught you what you need.
Malach only had one job.
So one malach having one job, and therefore this malach was the one that taught you. I'm not like you, but it's not so posh. There's a Vilna Goyen that seems to be noita the way we're saying, that it's your specific tafkid. The hashkafa of the sefer we're learning definitely seems to indicate that. The whole nature of Torah for me seems to indicate that. Otherwise, what I need Rav Baruch Hu and Rav Shimon Shkop and Rav Chanan, what I need every Litvish Gadol to write a Pirush on Shas. Did they want them to do it, and the others could have gone and done something else. Because each one's own unique idea and his own chiddush and his own perspective and his own cook on the Torah is a different facet of that diamond. So
they say when a person dies, there's sometimes people who come to greet them, whatever that means. But the fact, it's always the person who they were, like they used to learn a lot of, or they had a kesher with that person's Torah, which is also telling you that it's not just one big, it's the same sort of
idea. But on the other hand, you could say that he gets given the whole Torah and how he actualizes it will be his own unique actualization of it, but what the computer's programmed with is the whole program. You get the whole program, the whole nine yards. And with that, then you have to actualize what you actualize. Would you have a computer, everybody's got Word Perfect or whatever, I don't know what, Windows XP. It's identical program. So everybody uses it and uses different aspects and emphasizes and utilizes in a different way. I'm saying that could be where the machlokes is. Whatever it is, it doesn't really matter. Yeah. I'll tell you now, whatever it is, we've all got a lot of work to do. A lot of potential to bring out. Whether it's the whole Torah or it's 10% of the Torah or whatever, it doesn't matter. It's a lifetime's job. There's no time out. Namshich zois b'moshul. Let's try and feel this a little bit with a moshul. Kiyom ba'olam hamachshavim liten lishloach kibtzei nusunim mimachshev lemachshev. Today we have a thing called computers that actually sometimes is able to send things from one computer to the other. You actually are sometimes able to get your emails upstairs.
Wow!
Thank you for the new network card. You see, so you have to have a network card to do this. You can't just do it. לפעמים נתקל איש המחשבים בתגובה המחשב. Sometimes you get a little message coming up on your screen. אין די זיכרון במחשב שלך להכין קויבת זה. You don't have enough memory in order to fulfill or complete this transaction. אם נצא לדמות זה לדמויסס הדברים, if we can compare these things, ניתן לדמויסס למצב שבו נבקש מהקוש ברוך הוא, it's the situation where we ask הקוש ברוך הוא לתת לנו is קויבץ הנסונים התומן ברגע חיים של יהודי. Ask הקוש ברוך הוא to give us a collection of all the קויבץ. A kovitz is a kovitz mafoshim. It's a collection. It's a gathering, coming together, whatever, but putting together collection of all the things that are to give us an explanation of all the things that are hidden in one moment of the life of a Jew. Yeah, show me what one moment of a Jew's life is worth. Yeah, that's what I'm asking for. Hachuviti ein dai bezikaron amachshev shulcha laachil kovitz. You don't have enough memory in your computer to be able to put together all the information that you need to know what the life of one yid's worth, 1 minute of a yid's life's worth. Gam im nafuch is kol olam kulo lemoach shel machshev. The whole world would be turned around into the brain of a computer. Hulo yeh mesugel lahakil zois. You wouldn't be able to understand this. Ki harei anu asukim benetzach, because you're dealing in eternity. The life of a Jew is not valued in 120 years. The life of a Jew's value is in Netzach Netzachim. No, how big is Netzach Netzachim?
More than a few gigs.
I mean, you're talking zillions of gigs. You're talking
the bird
at
once every 1,000 years took a gig and
you downloaded. If every 1,000 years you downloaded, 500 gigs, and then 500 years later you download another 500 gigs and another five, for 1,000 years you still haven't even started. Yeah, because soon the kids are going to say, well, what's a grain of sand? Yeah.
Well, but then he'll say, what's a gig?
Sure. You mean a gig? You mean that little thing that holds little old-fashioned thing?
Only 2,000 telephone books.
Yeah. ותחייס עצר נזכזו לא יכולה בשום אופן להתגמד ולהקלל במסגרת ההבנה שלנו. This eternity and infiniteness of this, we're unable in any way to put into some kind of, to put into our computers. They just, they can't. You got a hard drive that's got 300 megabytes and you're trying to put 500 gigs on, it's just, זה לא הולך. אך זו יש נעידה בבירו. But one thing we do know for sure, הקדוש ברוך הוא צריך רגע של כל יהודי. הקדוש ברוך הוא needs Josh Fowler, the life, one moment of every Jew's life. יש לו בוי תכליס עצום שלמעלה ממעשגסנו. He has a purpose, each moment of that Jew's life has a purpose that's greater than we can ever begin to understand. וכך כסף הכהן הגודל, ובצדק הכהן מלובלין, זצל, מורו בספר צדוכס הצדיק, צדקס הצדיק, או יזקוף נון דלת. זה ובצדק ספיקים. כשאין צריך אדם להאמין, והשם יסברך. In the same way that a person has to believe in Hashem Yisburach, kach tzarif acha kach lahamin ba'atzmai. Afterwards, he has to believe in himself. Rat Salaima, what does that mean, he has to believe in himself? Sheyesh la Hashem Yisburach eisek imoim. The Kosh Baruch Hu has business with him. Kosh Baruch Hu's got dealings with him. V'sheinu poil bottle shebein layla hayo hubein layla ovet chas v'chalila. What does it mean? Sheyesh la Hashem Yisburach eisek imoim. ושאינו פועל בוטל שבין לילה היו ובין לילה עובד. Don't know what he means. ושאינו פועל בוטל, he's not a פועל בוטל שבין לילה היו ובין לילה עובד, between a night that was and a night that got lost. It's very poetic, but I'm not clear what he means. Rak tzarich la'amin ki nafshoi mimakor achayim yisbarach shmoi. The person has to know that the source of his life, he comes from, he's from Hashem himself.
Oh, whatever you're doing.
Mis'aneg u'mishtasheya ba'Hashem. It takes pleasure and it's mishtasheya, it's plays, it has enormous pleasure from Hashem.
Even if your time is wasted,
we're going to be dealing. We're going to be dealing with this question. I'm glad you've raised this question because we're right there now. There's two aspects to reality, to a person's life. There's essence and there's relationship. I've said this many times here. Sorry, there's essence and there's performance. Essence is the relationship. The father has a relationship with his son, which has nothing to do with performance. You'll say, oh, I'd like you to meet my son. But I'll say, why is he your son? But what did he do to be your son? So nothing. He has to be my son. That's just the biological, that's just his mind. No, but like, how did he, like, what did he apply? Did he have, what did he have to do? Did he have to pass tests? Did he have to, how much does it cost? Nothing. There's no performance at all. There's an essence of a relationship. This is daddy and this is Yankee. There's nothing. Now, performance can enhance that relationship, it can weaken the relationship, it can make the relationship pleasant, make it unpleasant. There are a whole lot of different things going on here, what performance can do to affect the relationship. But he's never going to be anything other than this is Abba and Ben. So, we first have to be able to look at the essence of the relationship. He's a Jew, he's a Ben Avraham, Yitzchak and Yankov, and this is a Kosh Baruch Hu, and there's an inbuilt intrinsic relationship. Now there's a thing called performance. But the performance itself there's something that exists pre all performance. And we've brought many rais. We discussed a lot of rais. The famous rai is the Chofetz Chaim's rai. It's amazing. If you do it once a week, it actually starts sinking in. Actually, I'm starting to get a little bit of a sense of this. The famous rai the Chofetz Chaim brings for this. Stop me if you're on the other side again. You have a Jew. He's on the subway station in downtown Los Angeles. Okay, let's take Los Angeles, right? And he finds an abandoned baby. He brings the baby home. Is the baby Jewish or not? What's his halachic status? He's a Sophic Jew, Sophic Goy. Halacha is we go after the Rav. Rav people in downtown Los Angeles are not Jewish. So he's a guy, al Safek. So it's also to keep Shabbos. He's going to pick him all the guy. He might keep your Shabbos going, you bring him up, and you have a nice little, you have a pet guy it up. Comes a particular Shabbos, and a building falls on this guy.
Building falls on the guy.
Something happens, whatever, his life's in danger. What's the halacha? Well, he's a Sophic guy, Sophic Jew. And then in the fashion saying, Halacha nacha roiv. When it comes to life, we don't go after the roiv. We hush it for the mute. So on the mere chance, the 0.5% chance that kid could be Jewish, you have to mechal Shabbos to save his life. Who has to mechal Shabbos? How many people? Every Jew that ever was and ever lived has to mechal every Shabbos that ever was and ever will to keep this Sophic Jew, Sophic Goy alive. Now, you'll say to me, yeah, I understand that. Why do you machal Shabbos to save a Jew's life? Because he'll keep many more Shabbosim. He's never going to keep another Shabbos in his life, this kid.
The Jew.
He's not a Jew.
He's a Sophic Jew.
But the minute you save his life, he goes back to being a Goy. It's also for him to keep Shabbos. So you see that the Sophic, the Chofetz Chaim says, the Sophic that he may be Jewish, even though he'll never do another mitzvah in his life, is enough to mechal kuru teru kuru to keep him alive for 1 minute. That's the value of a Jew's life. The value of a Jew's life is so important to Kosh Baruch Hu that it be deicha kuru teru kuru to keep a Sophic Jew alive for 1 moment, even though the Sophic Jew will never do a mitzvah. That answer, that's touching on your question, right? What kind of business is this? You bring a guy to the one that doesn't do mitzvahs? Yeah, the Chofetz Chaim's, and that's halacha. That's halacha. That is the halacha.
If you look at stuff like Goy and stuff like Jew, then he comes from a place where there's no.
We don't know.
We don't know.
It doesn't matter. The halacha is din and nefashos. We don't go after the roiv. So it comes to din and nefashos. We choshit for the mute. What does it mean? We don't go after the roiv. It means we choshit for the minority. On the 0.5% off chance, on the nano percent that this kid might be Jewish. Everybody's machal kula tura kula in order to keep him alive. We'll bring many examples. You have to keep drumming this one in. If you don't get this into your kishkas, you'll never appreciate what your life's worth. Going a little bit deeper this time. A little drop of water on the stone. A little drop, another drop. You should say this over to yourself every night before you go to sleep. You should tell this story to the mirror. And there are many stories like it. There are many examples like this. Many examples like this. The big Rosh Yeshiva. The big Rosh Yeshiva he's going to bring, or he's brought to read. I mean, the big Rosh Yeshiva who needs a kidney. Or he needs a transplant or whatever, yeah? He got some heroin addict right or whatever, you know, from the Tachanah Merkazit in Tel Aviv or whatever, yeah? And he's the only guy that's got this organ that's matim for this great, 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 the Gol Ador, yeah? And if the Gol Ador doesn't get this organ, he's going to die. But if you take the organ out of this chach heroin addict thing in Tel Aviv, then he's going to die. So obviously, who's going to do more mitzvahs? Who's going to be a better Eved Hashem? Is the Rosh Yeshiva, right? The Gol Lador. So obviously, you can take the kidney or whatever it is, the heart from this low life, and you can put it in and save the Gol Lador's life. That's possible, right? Huh? It's awesome. You can't kill one Jew in order to save another Jew. You know why? What's the base of that halacha?
We don't know whose blood is redder than
whose. Who knows whose blood's redder than whose? Which means who knows whose life has more value? What are you talking about? What kind of halacha is that? We know whose. If you tell me there's a gzeiros hakasuv, you can't, I agree. But the Gemara can't find the source for this. The Gemara goes and looks and looks and looks, eventually comes out with a svara. Who says his life's more valuable than his? What are you talking about? I can tell whose life's more valuable. You can't. Hashem says you don't know whose life's more valuable. But he's not doing anything. And not only is he not doing anything, anything he's doing is makalkal. And this guy's mamash keeping the world alive. Hashem says, so that's what you see. And my halacha says you can't take him out to save him because you don't know whose life's more valuable.
Well, that makes sense. The Jew that gets to save the Sophic Jew's life, his life's in danger.
The Sophic Jew's life's in danger.
No. The Jew's life, who's saving the Sophic Jew's life, is in danger.
That's a whole discussion.
That's another whole discussion. Stomach kasha is a Jew allowed in danger himself to save another Jew. That's okay, fine. Ayn Sham. That's a big sukkah. I'm not going to that. That's the whole question of transplants. Moshe has chosen this. Interesting letters written between Dan Gross and the Zatzal and Moshe Zatzal on the subject. That's you look in the library, you look in Van Grossness's tshuvas, he has a whole, couple of tshuvas on this subject. Because that's a big transplant question. Can I give my kidney to save another Jew's life? Am I allowed to dive into a river to save another Jew's life when it could be Sophic? Vada, you're not allowed to, that's Sophic. Vada, you're not allowed to endanger your life, Vada. But Sophic, and do you have a chiyuv to? Is it mutter to? Maybe it's mutter, but it's not obligatory. Maybe it's osel legamre. That's stomach kasha, that I don't know. But I'm talking about the value of your life. The value of a Jew's life is worth more than all the Torahs put, all the mitzvahs put together. You see that poshut from the halacha.
It's not so poshut. A Jew who denies God's existence and all those type of that, like. So even in the case that the Chofetz Chaim brings, what I suppose then he's got complete tenuch shenishbar. If he, yeah,
if it turns out that he was Jewish,
then he's an empty tenuch shenishbar. Fine, okay. So that's not even
tenuch shenishbar because he's a goyim berushus Hashem.
Yes,
because Hashem says you're a goy. Tenuch shenishbar. Okay. And the Chofetz Chaim brings an extreme example, but it gets the point across. Yeah, someone who's a mummer and someone who's an apikot, yeah, but you're going to have a hard time finding any of those around today.
Depends on who you ask.
Still. It's not so posh today.
Rabbi Eliashiv is like a very
pretty sharp. Yeah. Okay, fine. Okay.
So is it wrong to have like the apikorism that were in this world? Like, so like, Rabbi Jacobs and the apikorus. Right?
Who?
Blue Jacobs in England. So, whatever, he came out with like.
Okay, fine. Take Acher from the Gemara.
Do you think it would have been in saving it? I mean, like if he was.
It would actually be Asher.
Could be Asher, actually. That's a halacha. That's a big question in halacha that he's referring to. It's a machlokes, because amongst the poets can be exactly how you magdia these people, what they are, where they are. He saved him. So that's part of the whole. Okay.
We're finding a subject.
It's a big subject.
We're also in someone who's an apikoros.
Even once again, how do you find apikoros? How do you magdir it? That's a big subject in halacha.
I think that Rav Berkowitz has a whole ban adam lechavar on it.
Rav Berkowitz has a whole ban adam
lechavar. Soon we'll be able to go through it downstairs.
Yeah, we're going to start interviewing next week. This the post is it.
Yeah.
It's not a ban adam lechavar for you. Not for you.
Yeah,
let's go for it. Once we're this broke, we might as well go for total broke. Yeah.
Man,
I'm trying to recruit Tenor Breaking to learn in there. Just thought of Benama very quick.
Obviously, I'll all be around the area, like it's not.
From Yar Lachatchila and Ramat Beit Shemesh, the two from this area. Don't know where they'll come from. Let's see, hopefully, they'll come.
And do you need like a Rosh Kollel or?
Put a Rosh Kollel. He doesn't know yet, but I.
Rabbi Cams. I think you should put Rabbi Cams on the list. I would like that. Yeah, you wouldn't.
If you switch over the machine, I'll tell you who I'm going to.
Yes.